All right, so what's up, guys? Back in with episode 32 of Late Night Shots. And back on the show, we got Keontae Hamilton, number one ranked heavyweight in the U.S. So what's up, bro?
Nothing much. Just chilling. Got done practice. Chilling at home right now.
Nice, nice. So obviously, the main reason we're here to talk is about your who's number one matchup, Flow Wrestling, October 3rd. You got Chase Horn, number two ranked guy in the country. So first thoughts on this match?
I think he's decent. I think he's pretty good. But I think that I might be the – I'm pretty sure that I'm the quickest heavyweight we have this year. If not, maybe we've seen in a while. So I think, like, my combined, like, quickness and the fact that I have, like, this really weird slash, like, funky style of wrestling is kind of different for heavyweights. So I think it's going to be a real different matchup for him.
Yeah, no, I think that's what most guys said about this match. You know, you probably did a little bit of looking in the Flow comment sections when you got tagged. And then everybody's – you're like, you're pretty much a big favorite to win this match. Pretty sure everybody knows that at this point. So, I mean,
it's kind of going in my head to the point where it's like, as long as I've never – I'm pretty sure Gable said this too and a bunch of other guys, but I can quote Gable on it like a couple months ago where he was like, I've never really like tried to like watch somebody else's matches. I've just always known that if I went out there and did what I had to do and wrestled my style that I was like most – I was always going to win. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I really don't, like, watch people like that. I kind of just go out there, use my speed and my quickness, and just take, like, seven shots first period and score and just keep scoring until the end of the match.
Yeah, I get that. Interesting enough, like, I think that's something morally, like, most athletic guys say that for some reason. Like, I've talked to guys, you know, Trent, Adam Kuhn, and all that. They say they're like, big into film. And then you see guys like Gable, yourself, Jaden Cox. They always talk about how, like, they don't really care. They're just like, I'm more athletic than dude, and I'm better than him. As long as I do what I got to do, I'm going to win.
Yeah. Is that – I don't know why it's most of the athletic, like, athletically inclined guys, but I just always feel like if I use my speed, especially because I've even been told by, like Flow, like, people and, like, Jack people that I wrestle, like, a lightweight, even though I'm heavyweight, just because I wrestle really weird. I think that most heavyweights or 220s really didn't expect that, especially last year. So, like, that's going to be, like, the real, like, difference in this match coming Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I've seen, too, you know. Obviously, like, I can't really pick favorites in this match. I can't really reveal my opinion on this match because both of you, you know, both of you guys follow me. I talked to both of you guys, but, you know, you're the clear favorite. He said, Chase said it himself, he's like, all right, I really got nothing to lose in this match. But, you know, as the clear favorite, there also comes with the things like, I have to win, like, right? Like, that's
well, your... there's in the back of your head, it's like, you know that you should win this match, but there's always the fact where you have to, in the entire match, and Chase is a good wrestler, don't get me wrong, Chase is a great wrestler. Chase can hang with the big boys. He's younger, but he's still strong as ever and likes to do, like, freestyle and Greco. So there's always that chance that you can get caught no matter where you are in the period. You can be up by 10 and you can be caught in wrestling. Wrestling's always been a sport where no matter how far you up ahead, you can be caught no matter what. So that's the one thing you always get worried about. Even though you're the clear favorite and think that you're going to, like, go out here and, like, win and do this, this, and that, if you get caught, you got to make sure that you're always thinking don't get caught in this position or in this move. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so you've obviously, like, you're number one this year, you know. As a younger guy, you're obviously not going to be ranked number one 90% of the time, you know. There's probably a couple exceptions to that, you know, Gable Thiefson, Kyle Snyder, probably the only two I can really think of off the top of my head. But, you know, last year you wrestled Hunter Katka. Yeah. And in this situation, Katka's the one seed. You know, you're pretty much the underdog at this point. What's the difference, like, your mentality going into that match versus then going to the match with Chase where people think you're just going to purely dominate him the entire match?
Well, see, what most people don't know is about the match wrestle Hunter Katka. That was my first, like, serious freestyle tournament other than Journeyman earlier that year. I had done two freestyle tournaments that year that were, like, kind of out of the blue that I didn't really know I was going to, like, whether or not I was going to them because I had school, I had spring football, I had other stuff to do. Ended up just going to wrestle and only lost, I think it was 3-0. So it wasn't that bad, but I knew who Hunter was because I practiced with him. I practiced with him later that year in the Olympic Training Center, and I knew, like, what his ranking was. I knew he was, like, this huge, like, old, strong kid, and I was kind of the guy that was going in there, like Chase, with nothing to lose, just go out there, boss the wall. Now out there, I proved that I could be somewhat good. I mean, I lost, but I, in my head back then, when he was number one and I was, like, the unranked kid or the low-ranked kid, It was like, go out there, nothing to lose, balls to the wall, throw what you have at him and see what happens.
Yeah, so, you know, like, obviously at the heavyweight division, there's, like, more than any other weight class, there's a big difference, like, the size and shapes of guys, you know. You have these guys like Nash Hutmacher, who are guys like 6'5", cutting from, like, 320 in the offseason. And then you have guys come to weight class like yourself, you know, super lean, super quick, and keep up strength-wise. Like, I feel like, as far as I've seen, guys that are really quick tend to have, like, a lot more lower scoring matches with guys who have, like, the same body type as them. Like, looking at a guy's body type, does that really determine, like, how you go about the match, or is it just, like, same way every time you attack it?
I would say the same way for me, just because I am, like, the weird body type in wrestling that's tall. So it's, like, no matter who I'm wrestling, it's going to be hard to throw me just because I am 6'4". I know that I can defend my legs really well, which is, like, that's – being 6'4", that legs are always kind of open and there just because you're that tall. But if you know how to defend them well, they can be used as, like, a strength or an advantage towards you. So I'm wrestling kids. I know that most kids can't throw me, so they're not going to normally worry about being caught. But there's all those strong kids like Chase that have the chance. I would say that mainly no matter who I'm wrestling, it's just I defend my legs well and I try to just shoot at will. I just go whenever I see an opening. I try to shoot the most unexpected times just to like try to get that takedown. If not, try to push people out of bounds for a stall warning. So it really doesn't matter like your body shape or size for me, because even if you're my size or let's say you're like a lot shorter than me and we get into a scramble, I still hold pretty sure 8 times out of 10 I'm going to win that scramble and we're just going to keep wrestling.
Yeah, okay, I get that. Like, I've seen quite a few videos of you, like, a guy's in on your leg and you're just kind of just, like, chilling there, insanely calm, just, like, you know, looking for a scramble, knowing you're probably going to come out on top of that. It's probably, like, I mean, that's the thing you see with, like, a lot of guys, like, at the Division I level, you see bigger guys, just comfortable guys in on their legs. They know what their defense is going to be from that position. Is that something, like, you've developed over time, just kind of feel-wise, or is it something you really work on in practice?
It was kind of feel-wise. It was also really worked on because my practice partner, normally, I have two of them. One of them is, like, this 27-year-old MMA fighter named Brandon Bullard or Ballard, who's, like, really, like, strong and aggressive and, like, comes at you. So I've had to work on it there. And then I have another practice partner who's 22 at my school who's also really, like, short and stocky and strong. So I kind of, like, developed it just because they could get to my legs, like, when they wanted to. And I had to, like, basically worked my way up to defending that because they were strong and I had to figure out what to do. And not only that, even though I'm like this like huge big guy, I study people who like defend legs really well. Like one of my favorite wrestlers right now and could be top tier for me of all time would be Yanni, just because of how well he defends his legs. Like I'm not that flexible, of course, because I'm way too big for that, but I study those like moves and some of the situations he hits and I kind of like pick those up on my own and try them out in practice, might try them in a match here and there just to see if they work or not.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting matches I saw with him was that Beat the Streets last year with Bajrang Punya, right? You probably saw that match.
Yeah.
And did you see the one this year with the – I can't pronounce his name, but the defending Olympic champ?
Oh, of course. They both had a leg up in the air. It was wild. Yeah. One of my favorite Yanni scrambles, though, was like – I think it was the match he teched J.O., where he ended up like flipping onto his head without giving up two backs and then like pushing back in and grabbing a leg. And I'm just like, I wish I had that leg defense. So I'm going to try to develop it and get it as best as possible for my weight class and my style.
Yeah, that was insane. I was watching a match, and it was like – I know J.O. said that wasn't a great technique match for him, you know, just the way he was going to go. But to see Yanni just come out and tech him like that was just crazy for me to watch.
Yeah, that was wild. I think everybody had like – I'm pretty sure most people had J.O. as the favorite because he was like the veteran. Yanni just proved everybody wrong that match. They were like – He was like, I'm going to be the underdog, and you're not going to be able to take me down. And that was crazy.
Yeah, it was. But, yeah, getting back to your who's number one match, you know, just breaking it down a little bit, you know, you're obviously a taller dude, around 6'4", about 240-ish. Chase is probably a little bit smaller, not that much. He said he was around 235 last time I talked to him. He's probably a good amount shorter than you. He looks about 5'10", I'm assuming, somewhere around there. Yeah. How do you think the height difference really plays a factor in the match?
I would say the height and weight play factor because since February, I'm like one of the tweets that came out from like Floor Track was that I weighed in at 257. So I've definitely like outweigh him a little bit. And I would say the height just like it gives him the advantage with me being like lengthy and tall, like with my legs. But I think I can defend those no matter what. And then it gives me the length with, like, the snap downs and, like, the drags and the slide bys and stuff like that. Just because I'm longer than him, I'm able to, like, grab, like, more of him and, like, use him for, like, setups just because I'm further away than he is to me.
Yeah, I was talking to him about that, about a lot of things. He's like, he got to stay quick with his finishes and a bunch of stuff like that. You know, looking at the match, it's folk style, which is probably going to play a little bit more to your advantage in that scenario. You know, Chase, as far as he told me, he's pretty experienced in freestyle. You said you're pretty new to it as of last year. Being a folk style match, like, what do you think that plays towards your advantage there over being a freestyle match?
Well, see, the freestyle, I'm decent at freestyle now just because I trained it just because it looked fun to me. And after doing it, I was like, definitely I get into it. But, like, last year, the one big move I had was a folk style crotch lock. Like, that was about it. I would just hit kids with that whenever they came in on a leg just because I was good defending my legs and I could just throw them over. Now, with freestyle, with folk style, I can funk. I can roll across my back when I need to. I can do whatever I need to defend my legs. I can hit broomsticks without worrying about who gets the points. It's just a lot more moves you can do with, like, defending stuff than you can in freestyle. Because freestyle, you're really never on defense. You're kind of either flat or you're on offense attacking. With folk style, you can use defense. As they say, defense is the best offense. You can use defense whenever to set up any attacks, defenses. Like, you can set up anything from defense.
Yeah, just the scoring opportunities are pretty much endless in folk style. And seeing, like, these high-scoring matches, you know, Seth Gross versus Joe Colon. It was probably the best match to beat the streets, 21-15, I think. Just both guys going back and forth, sick counters, throws, and everything was happening there.
That was a wild match. How many, like, rolls they did at one point? I'm pretty sure there was, like, a, like, 8-point, like, four. Like, it was, like, 4x4 in one of the scrambles they had. It was wild.
It's like, you know, you put that in folk style context, that's probably 2 points forever comes out on top. Freestyle, you know, every time you cross your back, somebody has to get points there.
Yeah.
Probably the best part of it, you know, since higher scoring matches. But going into the match, you said you love people on your legs, you know, you love to scramble, do all that. Going into the match with Chase, are you more going to be focused on creating your own attacks or turning his attacks into your points?
I would say definitely creating my own attacks just because I don't want to really – Chase is, as I said before, is, like, good. He's a good wrestler. He's going to NC State. He's committed. He's going to be, like, a good match. So I'm going to mainly focus on creating my attacks. Like, I know how, using my setups, my finishes, getting in on legs quick, and just shooting whenever I want to shoot, whenever I see an opening, or whenever I think he's not expecting it. Now, will I definitely use his attacks to score my points? Definitely, just because that's what I've always done, no matter who I've wrestled. It's like, I remember I scored a couple times off of Kobe's attacks when we wrestled at National Preps in February. It was like, as long as I know that I can score off my own attacks, and then once you get on yours, I have the chance to score on yours, no matter how good you are at finishing or, like, getting to my legs, I will always have that chance to, like, score points no matter where I am.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. I mean, yeah, you can see both you guys, really, you know. You can't let Chase get too clean on the attack, you know. More than nice finishing on most guys in the country. I've never seen you guys wrestle, not at least I haven't, but things go either way any minute, which is probably the best part about this. But, yeah, so folk style, at least a heavyweight, more than not, you see the mat wrestling play more of a factor in the match. So what are you thinking about going into that? Is there, like, anything you have that you think you can hit on him or anything he has that you think you need to look out for?
I would say that he has, like, a really decent snatch single. The one match I did see of him, because it was, like, all over flow at one point, was him versus the Hayden Kobes match this summer. And I saw that, and I was like, okay, that's a decent snatch single. He's, like, really quick with it. He can move with it. And he finished on Hayden. But the one thing I would say I have against him is definitely I think that I could probably turn him in a tilt, because that's all I've done for, like, the past, like, 2-3 years. And then I don't think he could hold me down. So my mindset going into here is kind of, like, I know that I should definitely, and I need to, like, score points in the first period with, like, takedowns and stuff like that. But I know for sure that I'm pretty sure. I want to say I know for sure because we haven't wrestled yet. I'm pretty sure and confident that I don't think he can hold me down. And I'm pretty sure that I can either ride him out for the period or at least get a couple turns. Mm-hmm. At least one turn.
Yeah. A couple things I see, you know. You have these guys in college, high school, and all that. Mainly higher-level guys. You'll either see them on bottom, you know, do that guys like, you know, Gary Traub or something like that, smaller guys, kind of undersized the weight class, they'll keep moving on bottom and then just get out as quick as possible, try not to give up riding time, stuff like that. And then you see guys like Gable, Anthony Kassar. They're still like smaller guys, but, you know, they're pretty much at another level compared to the field at that point. They would just do like – they would just casually get into a quad pod and just get out. So what I was wondering is, like, is there a difference between doing those for you, or is, like, are there certain guys where you just casually get up and get out, or are there guys where, like, you actually have to work to get out, be quick with it, and then just get your escape as quick and as clean as possible?
I wouldn't even say there's, like, certain guys that I'm like, oh, I need to get out immediately or he's going to turn me. I would say that most of my matches, I'm looking to get out, like, at least within, like, the first, like, 20 seconds, just because, like, that's one point I know where you had to, like, struggle holding me down for 20 seconds. That's one point for me. I'm back on my feet where I like to be, and the fact that I can use, like, the first, like, 10, 15 seconds to catch back any breath that I need, even though, like, I don't really, like, breathe hard. I'm in pretty good shape. I mean, I would say I'm in good shape and, like, have decent cardio right now. So I would say within, like, the first 20 seconds, I just like to get out because I don't like being underneath anybody, and I'm much more confident on my feet than me trying to, like, pin you on bottom.
Okay, yeah, I get what you're saying. It kind of just depends, really. But you just want to get the escape and get it quick, really.
Yeah.
All right. So one thing I don't think anybody's really talked about, you know, it was just, like, a matchup that came into my head. I think it'd be a good matchup both ways. You put yourself up against AJ Ferrari. Two guys insanely quick. I'm not sure how strong you are. I'm assuming you're pretty strong. You know, AJ Ferrari is, like, probably one of the biggest guys into lifting and wrestling right now. And insanely fast, too. But you probably have about 10, 15 pounds on him at this – maybe 25 pounds at him at this point. How would you play a match like that out?
I don't really – I haven't seen Ferrari wrestle I don't know how long. Like, I've seen, like, of course, like, the Mr. Fast Switch Instagram and, like, him lifting. But I haven't seen him, like, wrestle a match, so I have no clue if his style has changed or if it's the same. But I was supposed to wrestle him my sophomore year, and I don't think I was, like, prepared my sophomore year wrestling because he was, like, bigger than me, he was stronger, he was quicker. I didn't really, like, know exactly what was going on or, like, what my, like, exact style was in high school yet. So I would say that year probably wasn't the best matchup, but now if his style is the same what I've seen my sophomore year and my junior year, is the fact that he's going to be really quick and he's definitely going to try to bend down and shoot those blast doubles at will. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I would probably just try to be quicker than him, fire off at the same time because I'm pretty sure that I might be able to overpower him if we shot at the same time. And then I would just, like, not have my feet together ever in the match. I'd make sure that I was lower or as low as he was, and I'd make sure that my feet were just far apart so he couldn't get that, like, that complete blast double on me. And then I would just shoot my shots off of that. Like, I'd wait for him to shoot, use, like, a pass-by or shoot, or I'd wait for him to stand back up and then shoot, just shoot when he didn't expect it and try to score like that.
Okay, so pretty much using his attacks against him to an extent, just going counter-shot on everything you have.
Yeah, because I know, like, I know a bunch of people who just only shoot doubles, and they're not that hard to stop. You go what me and my dad call Iowa stance, where it's just, like, both arms down in between both your legs, and you just pick it up from there and just, like, jack the guy up whenever he shoots. If you jack him up like that, you can easily, like, reshot off of that jack up, or you can just reset and then start using your own attacks. I would say definitely keep him crowded, like, try to, like, get him in, because I'm decent at hand fighting. I definitely say try to keep him crowded and in either collar ties or in, like, drags or just hand fighting with him so he doesn't get that space to shoot that double off. But other than that, I just got to watch out for mainly the double. I'm pretty sure he's decent on top. I don't really know if he has, like, any particular moves he uses. And I know on bottom he's a Mr. Fast Switch, so he's either going to switch you or just stand up and get out.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I've seen about him, he's just – he looks really stiff when he wrestles. I don't know how to explain it. But
he's really he's like, I would say for that, like, comparison, the one person I can think of is, like, he's like the Tim Duncan of wrestling. He's just, like, real basic, real, like, always in good, like, position, really fundamentally sound, and he's just there.
Yeah. Just seeing him wrestle is just, like, it's not special in any way, but he's just puts himself at, like, an elevated level compared to anybody else he's wrestled. He's just cool to watch.
Big part of that is that he just has, like, a great amount of confidence when he's going out there to wrestle. He doesn't think anybody can stop him. And that's, like, it's good on his part.
Yeah. So actually, going off of what you just said, there are obviously guys who everybody is confident, wants to be confident going into a match. And then some guys, you see like Gable sometimes, he'll be like extra cocky about it. And then he ends up taking that loss to Anthony Cesaro Big Tens. Where do you like, how do you feel about that? Like, what's the line between confidence and cocky?
Like, the line between confidence and cocky is overestimating somebody easily. Like, you can walk out there and be like, I'm going to, like, go torch this kid. I'm going to go do this and that. But you look at him, Gable is what? I think he was one that year and Cesaro was two. So it's like, you're not that far away. Like, he's right there next to you, no matter how you look at it. So, like, going out there, like, being like, it's good confident to be like, yeah, I'm going to go out here and, like, destroy this kid. I think you are. But don't, I would say, you can say that you're going to go out there and destroy this kid, but don't down. Play what he has too, because his mindset is I'm gonna go out here balls to the wall and do whatever I need to try to win this match. And he can pull out any trick he wants at any time, and it can end up with you being stuck or on the bottom at that moment in time. So basically, I would say, like, think to yourself and be as confident as you want to be, no matter what you say, but don't downplay your opponent. Know that if your opponent's top four ranked, top three ranked, he's gonna be good. You have to still watch out for certain things, but still wrestle your style and be confident that you're gonna win the match.
Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. So, yeah, I think Gable's kind of improved on that a lot. He's probably the only real guy at this weight class you really see that from. He was a freshman. I think he's kind of matured a little bit more to the point where, like, he's smart about what he does.
Because he was beating top-ranked kids as a freshman. At that point, like, I've
Yeah.
always noticed, like, when you're that young and beating kids who are, like, seniors, like, 4 years older than you, stuff like that, it's not even so much that you're, like, overestimating kids, is that your head gets really, really big because you're like, I'm a freshman doing this. I wonder what I can do this year. And then you overlook, like, everybody else in your weight class, and then here comes that random Kassar that just destroys that, and then you got to restart from, like, square one and rebuild that. You don't really have to rebuild the confidence, but you realize you can't be – like, as overestimating people as you were before. You have to, like, actually notice what they're good at and what they're gonna do.
Yeah, I get that. So, when your match came out with Chase, mostly Jersey people, but a lot of people were saying instead of Chase, it should have been you versus Jimmy Mullen.
I heard a lot of me versus Jimmy Mullin or me versus Deary.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I can, like, fully, like, disclose whatever, but I don't – they never told me. I'm not sure if it was official whatsoever. I'm pretty sure I was supposed to wrestle Hayden first for it. But I think because what's it called, upset him, because Chase upset him at this – I forgot what tournament it was, but upset him there. They chose Chase instead before it was, like fully official who they were going to choose to go against me. And then, yeah, a lot of people have said I should be against Colton Deary or, like – of course, Jimmy Mullen. And I mean, I was open to either one of the matches. Like, I'm hoping to see if I can wrestle either one of them sometime later this year. Hoping that the tournaments go as planned and that they don't get canceled. Like, I would love to wrestle Colton, but I was at the PA tournament, right? I think I went 9-0, and then I won the open, so it was 3-1 matches. And at the end of the tournament, I went to go watch Colton Deary's match versus it was Zuba, I think, Dave Shuba.
What tournament? Escape the Rock?
No, it was at Battle of the Berg like 2 weekends ago.
David Zuba wrestled 195.
Nah, he wrestled David Zuba was wrestling 220. He wrestled Deary in the finals. It was a team
Oh,
shut versus
maybe.
M2, and Deary ended up losing, and it was weird. It was wild to see.
Yeah.
Zuba was just so strong for Deary.
Yeah. I know Zuba cut to a 195 for States, New Jersey.
Yeah.
He ended up losing to Martin Gosier, if you know who that is, committed to Penn.
Oh yeah,
But
of course. Me and him had our fair share of battles when we were younger, but I outgrew a lot.
he's extremely talented for being that young. He moved away from 182 to get away from Paz and ended up 195.
Yeah, that was a smart move. I'm glad Paz is going to Rutgers too. That's my
Yeah,
boy.
just nah, Paz is probably the most talented kid I've ever seen. Like, that nobody really ever thought he was going to win the state title coming in his freshman year. Like, after just not putting on that much of a show, then he comes out and tech pins the entire state.
Yeah, it was. He's like super strong, super like technical. He's really good.
Yeah. You just saw like a flip switch with him just coming into his senior year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't think his senior year, I think he, like, developed that mindset over the summer where he was just like, nobody can stop me. I'm going to go out here and prove it. And that was, like, amazing to see.
It was crazy. Did you see a finals match with Martin Cosgrove and David Silva?
I did not.
Yeah, it was weird, you know. Cosgrove's pretty much dominating the match. I think he's up by four with about 10 seconds left. And Zuba comes with, like, a sloppy lat drop and throws him to his back. It's tied. After he gets, like, a two-near fall, Cosgrove bridges out of bounds. Zuba gets a stall warning for hanging on to his ankle. And then, it was the second one, so he got a point. And then Cosgrove ended up winning 8-7.
Wow, that's the thing about Zuba. He's so strong. Like, I saw this weekend against Deary. He hit Deary with, like, a nice ankle pick, and it shouldn't have worked. But because of how strong he was, he kind of just drove through Deary like a football tackle. I was like, this is wild. I think he ended up beating Deary, like, 6-4 or something. I think I'm pretty sure it was 6-4 regular.
Yeah, and Colton Deary has a great defense, too.
Yeah, he's really solid.
Yeah.
Most of his moves come from, like, just re-attacks.
Yeah.
Like, if you get down on his leg, he's one of, like, the athletically, like, inclined heavyweight suits that where he can, like, do, like, a spin around and end up on your legs and end up getting out. I've seen that happen a couple times. I've seen him use, like, doubles to his advantage, jacking him up and then dropping down to a single.
Yeah.
He's, like, really fundamentally sound and is, like, really, like, just, like, counterattacking people.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this or not, but it's kind of whatever at this point. But there's been news that David Zuba is going to be moving up to heavyweight next year. And not cutting down to 220.
I don't know. I guess it's on him.
I mean, after hearing about what you just said, him beating Gordon Deary, I think there's two other guys in New Jersey that I think would have made the finals. Pretty talented guys. But I think – and one of them actually practices with Zuba at their club. So, but if Jimmy Mullen versus David Zuba does happen in the finals, it's going to be a lot better strategy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, especially as returning heavyweight champ, people are kind of expecting you to dominate the field.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, it's like it doesn't happen like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like nobody expected one. I didn't expect Deere to be number four coming into this year because he had just won Iron Man. I'm pretty sure he won Escape the Rock. He won a couple other like big name tournaments, and I was like, okay, he'll probably be like number two. And he came in number four, and I was like, he's probably still gonna like work his way up. And then he lost to Zuba, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I don't think that's as much of an upset as people claim it to be. I think Zuba was just kind of really underrated going to that match.
I think Zuba was underrated, and then the reason why it was like seen as like an upset as like it's not as big as it was is because he's really underweight too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it kind of is what it is. But David Zuba, I think he was pushing around like 240 now, also, right?
Yeah, 235, 240, something like that.
He was cutting massive weight going into states last year.
Mm.
Him making the finals was, yeah.
He was wrestling 185, right? So he's probably cutting down from like 220, 225.
That's what I was thinking. But, you know, their team was probably the best public school in the state. They had three state finalists. I don't think any of them won either, which is crazy. And then, you know, Joe Colon, he placed fourth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was they had an insanely stacked team. You know, I think one of their guys last lost to was a freshman, lost at 106. Another guy lost to Dean Peterson. And then, Zuba lost to Mark Gosgrove.
Wow. That's hurtful.
I mean, they're all coming back, though.
Yeah, it's looking going to be nice. They're all good, too.
Yeah. So, you know, match for Mr. Evers, Jimmy Mullen, I think it's like, pretty much the exact same style, honestly, but.
Yeah, it's definitely the exact same style. It's just Jimmy was what I once was, which is he's, like, younger.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, he's, like, younger, and, of course he's strong, but he doesn't have, like, I think, what is he, like, 15 or 16 now? So it's probably, like, another, like, 16. Year or two. Yeah, another, like, year or two, he'll definitely have, like, that grown man strength, and he'll probably just end up dominating the heavyweight weight class. But right now he's just, like, a younger kid, which is one of the reasons why his ranking's probably lower than what it should be, but.
I don't think he has really, like, any key wins either. I know his best match was against Colton Deary where he lost 1-0 at Escape the Rock. You know, I think that might be the sole reason, but it could also be argued very easily that Jimmy Mullins, the number two guy, a heavyweight. So,
I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of guys there that are like interchangeable. Like the entire top, I would say like top six, top seven is kind of interchangeable. Yeah.
I think, you know, Chase, Hayden Kopass, Colton Deary, and Jimmy Mullins are kind of interchangeable.
It depends on the day. It's like the number two spots to like the number seven spot depends on the day. Because like any day Jimmy could upset Colton, any day somebody could like Jimmy could probably upset like Chase. It's all just like upsets could happen at any point, no matter like what goes on.
Yeah, especially with David Zuba moving into the heavyweight rankings now, I'm assuming.
Yeah, most likely. I don't know how high he'll be, but he definitely just beat Deary, who was four. So it'll probably be like, I would say hopefully top 10, if not probably like top 13, top 12.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is they might have to move. I don't think it can work like that because, you know, Jimmy Mullin won the state title. Zuba didn't, but Deary kind of beat Mullin.
Well, see, I think I would probably say Jimmy moves up above Deary. Deary moves probably like number seven or number eight. And then just because he's new to the weight class, even though he did beat Deary, he's probably still going to be ranked behind him. So he's either going to be ranked at seven, like right before Deary, or he's probably going to be ranked at like number 10 or 11, which means somebody in our weight class is getting bumped off the top 20, which kind of sucks. But
yeah, I mean, it happens. But yeah, so no, we finished talking about who's number one. So, yeah, I got two questions left for you. Nationals 2021, who's your pick?
For what? For, like, FMA. College?
Yeah.
Or, like, dude, the way he's been looking this year, even though we've only seen, like, one or two matches, I want to go with Gable, easily. I want to go with Gable.
Gable?
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible that Greg Kirkley beats him?
Yes, I think there can be an upset at any time, and Kirk is definitely – he's strong enough to do it. He's skilled enough to do it. We just saw him tech, like, the Maryland heavyweight who's wrestling everybody, I think, 3 or 4 years at this time in freestyle.
He's two-time All-American.
Yeah, he did it with pretty much, like, ease in freestyle. So I think he definitely has, like, the confidence, the strength to go out there and upset him. I don't think it will happen because I don't think Gable will let that happen again just because it's Gable and he's already happened to him, I think, twice now with Kastar.
Yeah.
Two different times. So I don't think Gable will let that happen again, but I do think there's definitely a chance. But I think Gable should win it.
All right. So, you know, along with that comes the Olympic trials, right? I think there's pretty much four big names again. You're going to have Greg Kirkfillet, who has to be in the talk for that spot. Big freestyle dude. You have Gable. You have Don Bradley. And you have Nick Wazdowski.
Yeah. That's
how you see that playing out.
I don't think Kirk is going to win that. I don't because I have him pretty much losing to – depending on what side of the bracket he's on, I have him losing to either Gwiz or to Gable.
Oh, Gwiz gets
– I know that Gable and Gwiz.
I think Don Bradley is going to be the 3 seed, and Gable will be the 2 seed.
And Kirk – oh, yeah, well, yeah, of course.
So I think Kirk versus Bradley will have to happen.
Yeah.
And you can't forget about Tony Cassiope either. Huge freestyle dude.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Is Paris going to wrestle in this? Mason?
I don't think he – I think he did qualify, yeah. But I do think that in freestyle might not be his strong suit.
Probably not his strong suit, but I think he could throw a wrench in somebody's plans if he goes to the Open.
All he needs is one dump and he sticks to him, it's over. So, I mean
– oh, yeah. And he's a good wrestler. Like, even if you're not, like, a freestyle guy, you can take whatever wrestling ability you have and just go put it in the freestyle.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect to make Flow Nationals finals or, like, go – I went undefeated my first day, my first and second day at Journeyman, and I ended up beating, like – I ended up beating Nate Deasy, who was a Fargo champ at Flow Nats, and then I ended up beating my first time wrestling – what's his name? Colby Franklin was at Journeyman. I didn't even know who he was. I ended up beating him, and he won Fargo. I think he won Greco Fargo. I ended up beating him in freestyle, like, my first tournament. So it's kind of just, like, I think even if you're not, like, a freestyle guy, if you take whatever you have and just implement it into freestyle rules, you'll be fine. And I think Mason could definitely – I don't think he's – there's no chance – there's no shot he really, like, wins it. But I definitely think he could throw a wrench into somebody's plans. Like, he'd go out there and upset somebody, and then that's just done for them.
Yeah, because I think all it really takes for him is to have a good tournament. You can very see him – versus Gable in the finals of the challenge tournament.
Oh, yeah, easily. He has the ability to do whatever he wants. He can upset people. He's strong enough to throw people. Yeah. All he literally has to do is learn, like, a body lock and a lat drop that's going to be effective, and he should be straight.
It's like that dump is a four-point move, you know?
Yeah. And he's really good at it. He can get that from any position and is nasty with it. So
if he gets you on your back, there's
you're not
most likely not enough.
But see, I think with like the, I think he would have to use like a surprising move against people because so many people are going to be looking for that dump, especially if he does go to the open and wrestles freestyle, that he's probably not going to get it that often. He might get it like once or twice, but I don't have him getting it against like Gable or Kirk just like off the back. People are going to be looking for it. So he has to hit something like surprising, like an arm toss. He has to hit something. I think he can do it, but he has to hit something different.
Mm-hmm. I think Don Bradley may be the one guy he can hit it on.
Yeah.
Maybe interesting though, you know. I think a lot of people actually have Don Bradley winning the spot this year, which I think is an interesting pick, you know.
I have to give it to the guy that won last year. I think that Gwiz is still going to, like, keep his spot just because Gwiz is, like, he's too dirty and too nasty for, like, the younger guys. So, I think Gable definitely has a shot. I think they all have a shot, but I just don't see it happening, like, outright. Like, I can't walk into there. Like, I couldn't, like, put all – I would have to put all my money on Gwiz if I had to bet it because he's already won it. He's beaten most, like, the top-tier guys beforehand. I don't see him losing that spot this year.
I think, you know, Gwiz and Gable have to be the top two guys either way, but I think no matter which one of them get the spot, they're both getting silver at the Olympics. So I don't think anybody's beating Taha a goal, so.
I don't think so either. He's too good. I don't think Gwiz is beating him. I don't think if Gable wins, he's beating him. But Gable would literally have to train like a good year just preparing for him. Just that's it. Just him.
It's crazy how talented he is. He's still young too.
Yeah.
And then there's the other guy who beat him in the World Finals last year.
I know who you're talking about. I'm forgetting his name right now.
Yeah, I know Petriashvili from Georgia.
Yeah. That was wild.
Yeah, he just kind of gassed him out. I was kind of shocked when that happened too.
That's the thing, though, about, like, U.S. wrestlers is, like, the thing with, like, I would say the gas tank we have, just because we have to wrestle, like, those seven-minute periods, like, and there's really no breaks in between. You're kind of just, like, kneeling down, waiting for that coin toss, and that's it. So there's, like, I guess you get the break in between the 6 minutes, but if you can gas a guy out, like, I think Yanni got a guy disqualified last year for just literally just gassing him out and kept pushing him out until the guy couldn't get into you, and he just, like, got him DQ'd. So I think we have definitely better gas tank than most, like, other, like, countries, but it depends on whether or not they're good enough to, like, throw you in that first, like, 3 minutes or get you in your back and tech you.
Yeah. I think that's something – I think if Jaden Cox versus Sajulayev does happen, that would be the only reason I would want to take Jaden Cox.
Yeah, I got you. Who do you think is going to win between the Cox-Snyder match? That's going to be a good one.
I don't think it's going to be close, honestly.
You think it's going to be Jaden?
I think the way Snyder's been wrestling recently just isn't what he's capable of.
He's not beating Cox. I don't think he's beating Cox either.
I don't think he's been wrestling the same way, you know? I think Jaden's going to be a lot more fresh going into that match, being that he doesn't have to wrestle Bo Nickel anymore after he dropped down 86. So I think he might be wrestling Colin Moore, actually, or Hayden Zilmer.
I think that if they do wrestle, I think he beats Kyle Snyder. I think that's easy. Now, I honestly want to go with JB just because he's the favorite, but I don't know who's going to win between JB and Kyle Pick. Like, JB's beat him, like, I think twice now, like when they wrestled earlier. But this year, it just seems like Kyle's just, like, a different person. He's just ready to, like, go to work. And he beat Chamizo. But in that match, I don't think Chamizo was going full out. Like, you could tell that, like, because at the end of the match, he definitely could have scored at least one or two more
points. I'm going to be completely honest with you right now. I think that if Chamizo and Dake do wrestle again, I think Chamizo takes it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't, because Chamizo is known for, like, not showing, like, what he has, like, his full bag of tricks until it, like, really counts.
Yeah.
And we see him do it with Burrows. He's, like, got, like sat out of the tournament against Burrows, or he's, like, wrestled Burrows and then, like, lost, and then, like, later that week, or, like, he could probably do it, like, the next day or a month later and just end up beating Burrows just because nobody's really seen his full bag of tricks. He, like, keeps them hidden until it counts completely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to make a bold call. I think because you have to realize Kyle Day has to wrestle Isaiah Martinez, who's proven himself to be at this level now, you know, after being Jordan Burrows. You know, Kyle Digg's probably in the best shape compared to anybody in the country. You know, just the way he trains. He's pretty much proven it. But I think that that match may take a little bit of a toll on him because I think that's best of three, too, in the challenge tournament.
Yeah, I don't know who wins between that either. I think Kyle Digg does just because he's, like, the veteran. He knows, like, he's wrestled, like, on the world teams. He's done, like, the Olympic trials many times before this. So I think Kyle, like, wins the match between him and Imar. But I don't know what's going to happen after that. Like, I'm pretty sure I have JB winning just because I'm a JB fan. I like JB, always have, and I want him to win the match and go to another world or Olympic games. But I don't know, like, for sure that JB's, like, definitely going to win this.
Yeah. I think if he does win this, I think he does win the gold medal. And then
I would say the golden silver, like, medalist, like, in this, if you could have two guys from, like, the same country, it would definitely be Kyle Dink and JB this year.
I mean, you got Chimizo in the mix.
Or you got Chimizo, but Kyle Dink just beat him, but I think Chimizo definitely wins it. But then again, Kyle Dink always has a chance because that confidence that should, like, he just beat Chimizo is still going to be there, and he's thinking, I can beat him again if I have to.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. You know, you could easily throw Isaiah Martinez out there, and he might just take bronze. You never really know what could happen with any of these guys. But yeah.
It's all wild out here, bro.
It's crazy that you have Kyle Dake, 4-time national champ, David Taylor, a 4-time finalist and 2-time national champ, just never make an Olympic team before.
Yeah, that's so wild. That's, like, one of the craziest stats you hear.
Yeah.
They've done so well in the country that there's always been – not always been, but there's mainly this one guy they can't beat. He was just there, just, like, waiting for them to come up and try and then knock him back down.
I want your opinion on this last thing before we start to close it up.
Okay.
Say if you were Kyle Dake and you had the opportunity to wrestle for a different country also, say if your family came from a country – but you just live in the U.S., would you consider going back to that country if it means you're making an Olympic team?
See.
Because I know the one guy who did do that was Amar Desi.
Yeah, see. I don't think I would because let's say he does wrestle Jaden Cox, right, and they end up wrestling for the world team spot. You know that once you win that match versus Jaden Cox, if you can win that match, you make the world team, and you basically have an automatic gold medal because you know that if you beat Jaden like that, you'll most likely win against anybody else. Jaden, what, I think he went 42-0 versus the world last year.
Yeah, but then you got Sajulani ahead of you. So, I mean, pretty much any other weight class he has, though.
Yeah, but I would say, like, 42-0 versus the world, you beat Jaden. You're pretty good confidence going in that you just beat Jaden, who went 42-0 last year. But then you have, like, another matchup that's going to be hard, but I think it's going to be harder if you transfer, like, if you go, like, a different country. Just because then you have Jaden and who else did you say? I forgot.
Sajulani.
Isn't that what it was? Yeah, you have him and Jaden to go against now. You have to worry about two instead of just worrying about one if you end up beating Jaden.
Yeah. But, you know, the Olympics is like a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know. That's hard to tell. I really don't know what he like if he could do that. Or in that circumstance, I don't think I would just because I would want that battle versus Jaden. I would want to beat him in our home turf and then take his spot and go. But I don't know if, like, I don't know what the better option would be.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, I would probably do it. But, you know, just for the experience, you know. But, like, it could be taken, like, multiple ways, like, from the actual country. Because you have a lot of guys bashing, like, Stevan Miocic, Sebastian Rivera, for trying to go to different countries to make, like, the world team and stuff.
I mean, yeah, but, see, there's, like, what was the guy's name that beat Terry Brands or Tom Brands, who just trained for him the entire time? Like, literally just trained for him year-round. I think it started with, like, a K.
I don't remember, man.
It was on, like, the brand story.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who ended up, like, beating – I think he beat Terry, and Terry, like, went into hiding for, like, a couple months and ended up beating Terry, and that was all he trained for. Like, I feel like Snyder could do that. But it would take, like, all of his energy from, like, wrestling and just practicing just to train for Jaden. Like, that was it. And that's what he did. He ended up making the Olympic team that year, which was kind of wild.
I mean, if you were to look at it from either of their perspectives, for Kyle Snyder, you have to beat Jaden Cox. But then it's not over. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can't beat Saj Uliaev, you know, his goal is to repeat as gold medalist, you know? And Cox's goal to prove he's number one in the world.
Yeah.
So
and I think Jaden can do it.
Yeah.
I think it's really between Jaden and Sajulayev, to be completely honest. I don't really – like, Kyle, the way he's wrestling doesn't look like the old Kyle we, like, know, we knew and loved. Like, the one who can just, like, go out there upset anybody. It just doesn't look the same. Yeah. Now, he did go – I think he's at Penn State's training center now. I think he's out there now. He moved from Ohio State. So, he could have changed. He could be training with way better partners or way better people. But I just don't see him beating Jaden and beating Sajulayev.
Yeah. So. I think the most interesting one has to be – I think the finals might even end up David Taylor versus Bo Nickel.
That would be amazing. I don't know who wins that match. I would say – I want to give it to the Magic Man just because I just saw what he did to Miles Martin, and that was a wild in itself. He just completely demolished Miles Martin. But Bo Nickel's good enough to turn it on and hit, like, whatever move he wants and try to stick it. So, I don't know.
It's like Miles Martin has proved himself to be at that level too, you know?
Yeah, and you see David Taylor
do that to him. Just
yeah, it was bad.
I had that match being like 6-0. I didn't think he was going to come out and tech him in the first period, 11-0.
It was weird because, like, Miles Martin didn't try to stop it. Like, I'm pretty sure David Taylor shot the exact same shot, like, four times in a row and kept getting it. I'm like, are you not going to sprawl or look out for the exact same shot coming again?
I mean, when the guy is that good, like, what can you really do? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you can't do anything, but I would expect, like, I mean, David Taylor was kind of taking him down with ease, so I was, like, expecting at least more of a fight. Like, David Taylor, don't get me wrong, he's a great wrestler, like, an amazing wrestler. But at that point, you got to try to, like, shy away from it, back up a little bit, maybe do a little bit of, like, stalling, get some passivity calls, something like that. You got to do something to try to stop
him. I would have went for just, like, a chest wrap off of that and just shot my shot with it, honestly.
Oh, easily. You got to do something. Swing for the benches. It's David Taylor. What do you have to lose?
Yeah. All right, so we're nearing about 45 minutes. You want to start to wrap it up, or?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so, you know, talk about your who's number one match with Chase Horn. We talked a little bit. We broke it down a little bit. We looked over the rankings a little bit this year, just want to see where everything falls out. And we gave our picks for the NCAA championships and the Olympics. So, you know, so first off, good luck with who's number one. We'll see who wins, you know. Again, can't pick favorites there, but, you know, so, yeah, so this has been episode 32 of Late Night Shots with number one nationally ranked Deontay Hamilton, and I will catch you guys tomorrow.